for our meditation this morning, if you have your Bibles, would you please turn with me to Genesis chapter 35, and we will read from verses 1 to 15. Genesis chapter 35, and we will read from verses 1 to 15. I am going to read from the New International Version. You could follow in your own versions. Then God said to Jacob, "Go up to Bethel and settle there and build an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau." So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Get rid of the foreign gods you have with you and purify yourself and change your clothes. Then come, let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God who answered me in the day of my distress and who has been with me wherever I have gone." So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods they had and the rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them under the oak at Shechem. Then they set out, and the terror of God fell upon the towns all around them so that no one pursued them. Jacob and all the people with him came to Luz, that is Bethel, in the land of Canaan. There he built an altar, and he called the place El Bethel, because it was there that God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died and was buried under the oak below Bethel. So it was named Allon Bekuth, or whatever it is. After Jacob returned from Padan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. God said to him, "Your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel." So he named him Israel. And God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will come from your body. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give it to you, and I will give this land to your descendants after you." Then God went up from him at the place where he had talked with him. Jacob set up a stone pillar at the place where God had talked with him, and he poured out a drink offering on it. He also poured oil on it. Jacob called the place where God had talked with him Bethel. Shall we just look to the Lord in prayer? Father, we just come to you this morning. We thank you for your word. And I pray that even as we look at your word this morning, that your word will come forth with authority and with conviction. And I just pray that you'll minister to our hearts, speak to us, O God, draw us closer to you. And that's what we long this morning. And minister to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, when Mike wrote to me, the portion that was given to me was the entire chapter of 35 and 36. And as you know, we don't have the time to go through the entire chapter of 35 and 36. We will just concentrate on the first 15 verses. There is so much even there, but we will just look at the few things what we can learn from. But actually, the remaining section of 35 and 36 are mainly talking about Rachel's death, names of Jacob's 12 children, and Esau's descendants. So I thought we will just concentrate on those first 15 verses this morning. I just want to begin with sharing a little bit about Jacob's background. I know you all have been doing the study and you might have looked at it. But we know who Jacob is. The name Jacob meant deceiver. He deceived his elder brother to get his birthright and deceived his father to get the blessing which was meant for Esau. Jacob, when you study the life of Jacob, Jacob had one goal in his life. He wanted to become rich. If that meant cheating his brother, that was fine with him. If that meant cheating his father, that was fine too. And he did not hesitate to do that. If that meant running away from his family or his father-in-law, that was also okay with him as long as he got what he wanted to get. Jacob was a man who thought just about himself. He did not bother how others felt or what their loss would be because of his actions. He just wanted to gain what he wanted to gain. When Esau was furious and was considering to kill Jacob, Jacob runs away from his home, and though he tried to grab the birthright and the blessing belonging to his brother, yet here he was on his way to an unknown road. He was there on an unknown road, just with the stick what he had in his hand. He had no one to talk to, nothing to hold on to. He's on his own, maybe fearing for his life, fearing for his future, not knowing what would happen to him the next moment or the next day. Now we know that Jacob knows his cleverness had not worked for him. He is now on his own and alone in the night, feeling very lonely and fearful, tired physically, and maybe tired of life itself. At this stage, when Jacob felt so miserable, lonely and hopeless, totally dejected, God appears to him. God appears to him when Jacob did not deserve kindness, when Jacob did not deserve any mercy. God appears to him and comforted him, saying that he will be with him wherever he goes and will protect him, cover him, and will bring him back to the place where he belongs. The place where God appeared to Jacob was the place known as Bethel. And Jacob had made a promise right there in the place where God had met with him. He said to God that if everything goes okay with him, if everything is all right, he will return back to Bethel and he will build a house of God, or he will build a place, an altar, in which he can worship God. So we see that God has an encounter with Jacob right there in Bethel. And the thing I noticed there is, when Jacob had nothing to hold on to and when he did not deserve any mercy, God appearing to him meant a lot to Jacob. He didn't have anybody to talk to. He didn't have anything to hold on to. Yet he realized right there in Bethel, though he does not have anything, all that he needed was God with him, God's presence. Just that assurance that God is with me meant a lot to Jacob. As you all know the story, Jacob then goes on to Laban and is now married, and he has his wives, children, servants, sheep and goats, and he is a wealthy man now. He is a rich man now. Now Jacob runs away for the second time. And this time he is running away from his father-in-law, and he is afraid of facing his brother Esau on the way. And Jacob soon realizes that his wealth is not going to give him the safety that he needs. The protection that he is longing for is not going to be given by the wealth that he has. When he had nothing, it was God who had come to his rescue. And now that he has all what he needs, he has his wife, children, servant, his business empire of cattle, goats, sheep, donkeys, and everything what he needed, he had. He has people to take care of him, people to obey his orders, and enough wealth to take care of him for the rest of his life. Here again, he is afraid of life, afraid of attack on his family, afraid of losing everything what he has in life. None of what he had was going to give him the assurance that he needed. So he is back where he had began, where he had run away from the brother. He has come back to square one. When he had nothing, he was afraid of life. Here he is again with all what he needs, yet he is afraid of life. He cheated, used his tricks, and worked all his life to acquire what he wanted to acquire. But he realized none of what he had is going to give him the assurance of safety for him. He needed God on his side to be safe. So he goes back to God in prayer in Peniel. And we all know the story, how he fought with God, and God once again blesses him there at Peniel. God has shown kindness once again to Jacob by granting him favor in the sight of his brother Esau. When he had nothing, it was God's kindness and faithfulness that protected him and provided for him. Now that he has everything what he needs, yet again, it is only God and his faithfulness and his kindness that can preserve him and his family. So when Jacob had nothing, it was God on his side. Now when Jacob has everything, he realized it's only God who can give him that assurance. And what a lesson from Jacob's life this morning. You know, many times, I know, especially in third world countries, we go to God when we have nothing. And we cry to God. God answers us. God meets with us. God protects us. God provides us. And as soon as we have what we think is wealth, then we forget God. But let us not forget this morning that our wealth is not going to protect us. Our business empire is not going to protect us. All we need is God on our side. As long as we have God on our side, we do not need anything else, because he is all-sufficient, all-powerful. He is an almighty God. And God emphasizes that in this chapter. And we need to realize that in our life. And then we see that Jacob has now returned to Canaan and has settled among the Canaanites in a place known as Shechem, which is just about 15 kilometers away from Bethel. He soon forgot what had happened at Bethel and at Peniel, and both of those encounters that he had with God. God had answered his prayers. God had provided for him. God had brought him back to Canaan safely through all the extreme situations. But Jacob had not returned to Bethel, where he had committed to return, where he had made a commitment to return. Jacob had become comfortable in the place where he was, and had ignored the commitment what he had made to God in his first encounter. In his first encounter with God, he had realized how helpless he was and how much he needed God. And as a result, he had made a commitment to God. No matter where he went, no matter what he would become, yet he will return to Bethel, or in other words, to his first commitment to God. And he said, "I will come back to you. I will build an altar of worship. And this is where I want to be. This is where I want to spend my life." But as the days went by, when he got comfortable, he had forgotten his commitment to God and was happy living among the pagan world and maybe even with pagan practices. So God had to shake him a little with an unfortunate incident which took place with his daughter, and had reminded Jacob of his commitment. Isn't this true with many of us? That when we first met him, when we had that first encounter with God, our love for God was so strong. We make a commitment to love him and to live for him for the rest of our life. We want to build an altar of worship where we can bring our family to follow him and to serve him. But as the days go by, the world influences us. Maybe our family itself influences us. And we forget the commitment what we have made to the living God, the creator of heaven and earth. And sometime the Lord has to shake us a little bit to remind us of our first love, of our first commitment. Jacob had not honored God and had not returned back to his firm commitment. Jacob had forgotten that he is meant to return to Bethel, where in his distress he had made a commitment to God, saying, "I will come back when I have peace and will build an altar." I hope you realize what I'm trying to say. Don't we do this all the time? That we make a commitment to God in our distress, and we make a commitment when we accept Christ. But soon we forget and we get comfortable with this world and the pagan practices of this world. And we forget to go back to God as a family and build an altar of worship. And that's what God is longing for. God, more than your riches, he just wants that intimate fellowship, intimate relationship where you come and be with him and worship him. Jacob was aware that among his family, there were people who worshipped idols. Unfortunately, these idols had gotten into his family, and they needed to get rid of these and cleanse themselves. God wanted a complete transformation and a complete cleaning for Jacob and his household. He wanted Jacob to purge himself and his family of all the idols and all that is not holy, and purify himself and fulfill the vow he had made to return to Bethel and build an altar there. But Jacob was happily settled along with the heathens and with the idolatry that was going on. Maybe to remind Jacob of this, God allows that turbulent time for him and his family when his daughter was dishonored by the local community. This traumatic experience had shaken Jacob and brought to his awareness of the real danger they now faced from the people of the land. It brought to his remembrance the vow, the commitment that he had made to God to return to Bethel. So he wants his family to cleanse themselves of these idols, and he buries these gods under the ground because he does not want his family to go back to those idols anymore. The children had been living among the Canaanites for 10 years, and the recent massacre that was done by Simeon and Levi, and the looting which might have brought more idols and more pagan gods into their household. When it was dangerous to remain in Shechem, the Lord spoke to Jacob again, reminding him that he needs to go back to Bethel. He was to return back to Bethel to live and to build an altar there to worship God, who appeared to him when he fled from his brother Esau. Now, though Jacob must have talked with his family, with his children and the household about Jehovah and his promise, yet he had not completely cleansed them of the idolatry. Like many professing Christians today, I don't know about US, but in places like India, we worship God while at the same time we hang on to some of the superstitious and practices of the world around us. Jacob realizes all of these needs to be put away. Now a fresh start has to be made if God was going to bless them again. God reminded Jacob of his encounter with him at Bethel and to his promise there, and commanded him to immediately move on to Bethel. Jacob, with a broken and a repentant heart, did what he should have done long, long time back ago. Because God wanted him to be firm in his commitment, what he had made to the Lord. God does not appreciate half-hearted commitment where he and his family are half in the world and half with the Lord. God wanted Jacob and his family to fully follow him, and he requires the same from all of us. He does not want us to be like a half-baked cake with an attitude we are neither here nor there. But unfortunately, today we see many Christians who are half-hearted in following Jesus Christ, half here and half there. God wants us to break free from the world and to be fully committed to him. So Jacob required his family and servants to abandon all remnants of the idolatry, disregard their images, and put away their foreign gods. He even wanted them to abandon the garments they had been wearing, then wash themselves clean and put on fresh clothing, symbolic of pure worship to Jehovah the God. There was no doubt in Jacob's mind and that commitment to the God of Bethel involved allegiance to him and him alone. God wanted complete transformation, complete purging from the world, and total surrender to him. Now Jacob is testifying to his family that his God had answered him in the day of his distress and had been with him wherever he had gone. And in the light of such faithfulness, the entire household need to comply with Jacob's request of cleansing themselves. I want to ask you, parents, do you share God's faithfulness in your life with your family? Do you have a family altar where you can think and remember the faithfulness of God, what God has done in your life, and share that experience with your children? The occasion was both a purge and a renewal of faith in which the whole household was involved.
Through the history of Israelites, we see whenever the Israelites held on to God and God alone, God always blessed them. And verse 5 says, terror from God fell upon the cities that were round about them. And this fear enabled Jacob and his company the smooth voyage. It was the protection they had done nothing to deserve. And it enabled Jacob to return in peace to the very spot where God had appeared to him in his first flight or first running away from Esau. Though the Canaanite tribes were far superior to them numerically, but nevertheless, they became so fearful of them that they refrained to harm them or to attack them. It was here at Bethel, God once again appeared to Jacob, renewing the promise made 30 years before, right there in that same spot. God identified himself as God Almighty and the one who nourishes and provides, who is strong enough to meet every need. You know, Jacob, God is saying to Jacob, I am enough for you. You don't have to run after this, run after that. I am God Almighty, all sufficient for you. And once again, God promised Jacob that he and his seed, which would be a great multitude, would possess this land and he would be a nation. God appeared to him again, renaming him Israel. God confirmed that he had been indeed the person who had fought with him in the human form in Peniel. God reminds Jacob that he will become a nation and a company of nations. Kings will spring from him and the land is given to him and his descendants. God also reaffirmed and re-impressed on Jacob that he now had a new name, Israel, and therefore has to live as one who possessed with such a high calling. Jacob knew the God who had chastened him, God who provided for him, God who guided him would continue to do so not only in his life, but in the generation to come. My brothers and sisters, we have a noble calling. God has placed upon us great responsibility. Let us live in the light of that calling in our lives. This morning, I want to ask you if there are anybody here in this congregation that you may be feeling as a misfit, as a failure, and good for nothing. And maybe you feel you have messed up your life like Jacob. Remember, to God, you are not a misfit. To God, you are not a failure, but you are a partner with God in the fulfillment of his divine purpose. Maybe you feel you don't deserve to come to God or to pray because you feel you do not deserve his mercy. Yet God says to you, I will be with you wherever you go, and he will show forth his mercy and kindness. Friends, when Jacob had nothing, it was God's kindness and faithfulness that gave him assurance and security. And when Jacob had everything what he wanted, it was only God's kindness and faithfulness that could give him the safety and security that he was longing for. And it is true for our lives as well. Let us not run after these things. Let us not run after things seemingly which will give us security. But let us run after his kindness and his faithfulness. True assurance of safety does not come from what we have, but having God on our side. Like Jacob, we have had our own Bethel and Peniel experience, but soon forget the kindness and mercy what God has shown to us in those situations. We soon get settled on our own scheme, compromising little here, a compromising little there, and forgetting the commitment that we have made to God the Almighty. As a result of this, we miss out on the best that the Lord has for us. If God has to turn Jacob fully from Jacob to Israel, then we need to purge ourselves of ungodliness, the idols that we worship, whatever idols that may be, whatever that situation may be. We need to honor the commitment that we have made to God. And we need to come back and return to him as a family and build that family altar and worship him and honor him in our family, in which he alone will be honored, in which he alone will be worshipped, and our allegiance will be to him and him alone. This is true transformation. And when we do this, you will move from Jacob to Israel and you will start experiencing God Almighty in your life. You know, even this morning I was thinking, many Christians say, I don't experience God Almighty. But have you turned from being you to Israel? Have you completely transformed yourself? Is your allegiance is only to God and God alone? And if that is the case, then you shall experience God the Almighty in your life. I can share story after story where God miraculously moved in situation and provided and changed the situation. God is still a miracle working God. He is still Almighty. There is no change in that. It is just what is our level of commitment to Him. So, brothers and sisters, how is it with us today? Do we have the God of Jacob who takes up sinners as they are, saves them, transforms the Jacobs into Israel, and uses them for His glory? Would you be willing to purge yourself of all the idols that you have in your life and return back to Bethel to build a family? Build a family altar and worship Him and Him alone. I hope that will be the story of your life and the life of your family. May the Lord bless these verses. Amen. Shall we just look to the Lord for a few minutes and pray? Loving Heavenly Father, this morning we just come to You. Lord, we just want to say sorry. Many times, Lord, we have run after things that really does not bring us the security. Lord, many times we have forgotten the commitment that we have made to You. And Lord, we have got involved with so many things that are not right before You. Father, we just come to You, cry to You, that You will cleanse us this morning. Help us to purge of every uncleanliness in our lives and to give ourselves fully to You, so that You can take us in Your hand and transform us as Israel, doing what You have called us to do. I pray that You will help us as individuals, as family, to build altars in which You alone will be honored, in which You alone will be worshipped. Guide us, O Father, be merciful to us. We know that the safety is only with You, with having You on our side. And may we realize that and have that allegiance to You and You alone. We bless You, Father, this morning. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.